Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. Last month, we looked at how the minimum distribution rules relate to Roth IRA conversions and recharacterizations. This month, I want to do more housekeeping for your clients' Roth conversions. I know that you already know all the basics. So, I'm talking with a client and I'm telling him about the mechanics of doing these Roth conversions, and the I's he needs to dot and the T's he needs to cross on the way to Roth conversion happiness. No fancy tax planning this month, just a practical list of things to do or avoid. First, everybody should start by opening a small Roth IRA right now, including you. Let's say $1,000 funded with a transfer from your existing IRA. Getting this account set up right now gives you two advantages. First, if you decide at the last minute in December 2010 to do a large Roth conversion, well, you already have the account set up and all you have to do is transfer some more money into it from the traditional IRA. That little time saver could be a lifesaver for last minute year-end planning. But even if you don't do any further conversions in the year 2010, by opening at least a small Roth IRA in 2010, you get your five-year clock running, so that starting in the year 2015, you will have met the five-year holding period requirement to qualify for tax-free distributions of your Roth IRA's earnings. And that five-year holding period requirement that you've already met is not going to be just good for this little Roth IRA you're opening in 2010. It's good for any Roth IRA that you ever own. So perhaps in 2015 or 2017 or 2025, you might do a big Roth conversion or even just roll over money from your Roth 401k plan into a Roth IRA. And when you do it, you will have already met the five-year holding period requirement for that later money. You will have already met it because you opened a little Roth IRA in 2010, the first year you were eligible. Next, I recommend that you open that small Roth IRA at the same company where you already have most or all of your existing traditional IRA money. That will make later conversions and recharacterizations a lot easier. It's easy to transfer money from one account to another within the same firm. It's a giant pain to transfer it from one IRA provider to a different company. For every transfer you do from your traditional IRA to a Roth, you will need to fill out a form electing out of having any income tax withheld. Your traditional IRA provider is actually legally obligated to withhold income taxes from your IRA to Roth conversion unless you elect out of withholding. Now, a client who wakes up and finds that part of his Roth conversion was sent to the IRS as withheld income taxes, he'll have a giant mess on his hands. Just avoid that by making sure you elect out of withholding every time you do a Roth conversion. One more thing, whenever you open a new IRA account, you need to file a beneficiary designation form for that account, and a Roth conversion is no different. You need to name a new beneficiary for your new Roth IRA account. Name that beneficiary very carefully, even if you're just opening a token account right now, because you might later put more money into the account and you don't want to have to rethink the entire subject every time you simply add to the account. Next, I need to make some work for my fellow estate planning lawyers. So I'm going to strongly recommend that you add a new paragraph to your Roth IRA beneficiary designation form. You know, you may later decide to recharacterize your Roth IRA conversion and send the money back into a traditional IRA. That's fine as long as you are alive and well when you make that decision. But what if you're dead? The IRS regulations say it's no problem if you're dead. Your executor can make the recharacterization election on your behalf. But actually, there is a problem. The way you recharacterize or undo a Roth conversion is by physically moving the converted money back into a traditional IRA. Take it out of the Roth IRA, put it into a traditional IRA. How can your executor do that when the beneficiary of the account and not the executor owns the account as a result of your death and controls it completely? The IRS didn't think of that, and they're scratching their heads. But in the meantime, I think the answer is that you should include a statement in your beneficiary designation form saying that if your executor elects to recharacterize your conversion, the funds in that Roth IRA account will automatically be transferred into a traditional IRA account with the same IRA sponsor firm, and that this transferee account will have exactly the same beneficiaries and otherwise be on identical terms, the same as the Roth account, except it will be a traditional IRA. And hopefully, including that in your beneficiary form makes it possible for your executor to actually exercise the recharacterization power he's supposed to have under the regulations. And he should be able to do that despite possible objections or non-cooperation from the account beneficiary and or the IRA provider firm. You need to put a similar provision into your power of attorney form in case you get disabled during the recharacterization period. And while you're at it changing all these legal documents, maybe you should do a codicil to your will to tell your executor what considerations you want her to apply in deciding whether to recharacterize your Roth IRA. You'll be glad to know the Bar Association is giving me a medal for coming up with these suggestions. Even if you really want to go 100% Roth, my next recommendation is that you nevertheless leave a small traditional IRA account open, at least for a while. That will make recharacterization a lot easier if you do change your mind later. Again, having an account that you can just transfer the money back into will make it just easier to do a recharacterization. So leave a little IRA open someplace. Next, if you do a Roth conversion in 2010, you're going to have to make an election. Do you want the resulting income included in your income all in 1 year, 2010, or would you rather have it deferred and include 50% of the income in 2011 and 50% in 2012? That's the election you get to make for conversions in 2010 and 2010 only. Of course, my clients, they immediately ask, well, why can't I include one-third of the income in 2010, one-third in 2011, and one-third in 2012? My answer, you can't do that because that's not what the law says. The law says either 100% of the income in 2010 or 50% in 2011 and 50% in 2012. The only way to split up the taxable income from these conversions over 3 years, there's two ways. One would be to do partial conversions each year, and the other way is available for a married couple. You could have a husband and wife do their Roth conversions in 2010 and then make different elections regarding the income averaging deal. So maybe husband could conclude all his conversion income in the year 2010, and maybe wife could elect to spread her conversion income forward into 2011 and 2012. I'm going to close with some investment warnings about Roth IRAs. One concerns investment management fees. Many clients pay their investment management fees for their traditional IRAs using outside dollars, then deduct those fees on their tax return as a miscellaneous itemized deduction. That's perfectly legal. The IRS even blesses it in Publication 590. But investment management fees paid to generate tax-free income are not deductible. At some point, when a Roth IRA has been around long enough so that all distributions would be tax-free, it seems likely the IRS is going to say, you cannot deduct investment management fees for your Roth IRA because those investments are generating tax-free income. And my final warning for you today is a scare story. If you engage in a prohibited transaction with your IRA, the result is that the IRA is disqualified. That's always a disaster because it means the entire amount of your IRA is immediately taxable and you lose all future deferral. But a prohibited transaction is even worse, if possible. It's even worse if you're talking about a Roth IRA. If you engage in a PT with your Roth IRA, the Roth IRA is disqualified and it's deemed immediately distributed to you. And even though it was a Roth IRA, so you thought all distributions would be tax-free, it ceases to be a Roth IRA if it's disqualified by the prohibited transaction. And that means the deemed distribution of the account would be taxable to the extent it exceeded your contributions to the account. So you're always warned to avoid prohibited transactions with an IRA. That warning goes double or triple for a Roth IRA. It's been a pleasure bringing you some Roth IRA housekeeping tips and horror stories. For MorningstarAdvisor.com, this is Natalie Choate.